Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I actually thought we'd go ahead and go down through the end of the chapter, but there's something very interesting about sins against the Holy Spirit, and this particular sin here is grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, we dealt with the sealing of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, showing you that once a person is saved, the Holy Spirit puts that soul into the body of Christ and then seals, like a seal of approval and like a seal that you can't break, like the seal on the tomb of the Lord Jesus or the seal on the stone when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, something that shows this thing cannot be broken into by anybody else. You're in the hand of the Lord. You're in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way out, so to speak. And it shows you the eternal security of the believer, but that's something we dealt with in Ephesians chapter 1. And in this particular verse, what we want to look at is sins against the Holy Spirit. He says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So there are a number of sins, and the first sin against the Holy Spirit that we'll deal with is this one that's right here. Grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to distress Him or to cause Him sorrow, that kind of thing. Like people grieve at a funeral. And grieving the Holy Spirit is something that is caused by disobeying Him. In other words, Paul here is writing to the Ephesians, and he's writing to save people. He's talking all about their work in the body and how they've already been raised up together in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no middle wall of partition between Gentiles and Jews and all that other kind of stuff. Talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and everything like that. And now he's dealing with something that Christians can do. And what that is that Christians can disobey the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and thereby grieve Him. For instance, we noticed yesterday that Christians are to put away lying. And if you lie to somebody after you're saved, the Holy Spirit is distressed. The Holy Spirit is sorrowful about that, is grieved about that, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak through your mouth the truth of God. That's what He told you to do. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Well, the truth is in the Bible. Let every man speak as the oracles of God, we looked at. And so when you tell a lie, the Holy Spirit is grieved because you've sinned against Him. You've disobeyed Him. When you're angry and sin, when you hold on to your anger after sundown, when you give place to the devil, when you steal, when you won't do the amount of work that God wants you to do, when you let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, when you don't edify, when you don't minister grace to the hearers, the Holy Spirit is grieved. You know what? There are a lot of Christians today who have sin in their lives, and of course it's in our members. You and I both know that. But you've got sin in your life that you know the Holy Spirit has dealt with you about and that the Holy Spirit wants you to get rid of. You know that. You know that. And so what the Holy Spirit does is He reminds you through preaching. He reminds you through your conscience. He reminds you through Bible reading. He reminds you through teaching and Bible study that you need to get that sin out of your life, and you won't do it because it's a sin that you don't want to quit. And consequently, He's grieved. Therefore, the work that He does in your life is not nearly as powerful as it would be if you would go ahead and yield your members as servants of righteousness and do those things that the Lord wants you to do. In Romans chapter 8, we're told to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is something that is your job. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All right, so you've got a responsibility to mortify the deeds of your body through the Spirit. And when the Spirit is identifying deeds in your body that he wants you to kill and you won't let him, and you continue to hold on to that pet sin, then what you've done is you've grieved the work of the Holy Spirit, and so you say, I don't sense the power of God to drop that sin. That's the reason why. I've told people before, when they have pet sins that they're holding on to, and they come to deal with me about that, that they're dealing now in the wrong way. They've grieved the Holy Spirit for a long time. The power of the Holy Spirit at work there is really minimized because he's distressed. And so the thing that you need to do is you need to quit the sin. And you say, well, boy, that's going to really be tough because I've got a very strong, powerful flesh and a very strong temptation in my flesh to continue that sin. Well, there's no doubt about it. Sin is sin. That's a common temptation to all men. So what you need to do is you need to go ahead and let go of the sin. And then when the Holy Spirit knows that you're serious, he will extend to you the grace and the power to stay away from that sin. But he's not going to take it away from you. You've grieved him too long. Now, I know that you find that very difficult, but if you really get right down to it, and I've dealt with a lot of folks, I've dealt with myself about this, so I know how this thing is. I've got the problem, you've got the problem, we've all got it. The problem is, when you get right down to it, is you think that you're limited by the amount of power that God's given you to get rid of the thing. You're waiting for him to take it away from you. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is this: you're going to have to make that decision, and then you're going to have to rely upon God to give you the grace after you decide. And you know why you won't decide to do it? Because you want, if you'll think about it, and if you'll really be honest with yourself, deep down, you want to keep doing that sin. You want to keep doing it. Times there be that the Holy Spirit will deal with you about witnessing to a family member or a friend, and you won't do it. You'll chicken out. And at that point, you've grieved the Holy Spirit because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and he's trying to use you as a witness to tell somebody, and you shut him off so that he can't use your mouth to get that witness to somebody else. He's grieved. You've disobeyed him. See, grief can be about negative things or it can be about positive things. He called you to preach, didn't he? And you wouldn't do it. Or you wouldn't do it under his terms. You wanted to do it under your terms. And so what happened to you is you disobeyed him. And now you're looking for some substitute, some way the Holy Spirit will use it. Listen, there was a time when the Jews went and sent spies into the land of Canaan 38 years before they actually went into the land of Canaan. Those spies came out and brought an evil report against the land, said, boy, those guys are tall, man, and although it's a good land, we're not going in there. And so God decided, okay, then you're going to wander in the wilderness. And when they found out that they had upset God, they said, okay, we'll go now. And Moses said, you can't go now. God's not with you. They went in there and they got scattered and got defeated, and many of them died. But what's the problem? They disobeyed the Lord. So you disobey God, and then you're going to try to find some other way to do an end run and try to make the thing work out by doing something else for God that he didn't ask you to do. It's too late. You've already messed up. The best thing to do is admit that you've sinned against the Holy Spirit, bow your head, and wait for the Holy Spirit to pick it back up again and use you. That's the humility that Paul demonstrated when he got caught in the affair with Bathsheba. He said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And then back in those days, the Holy Spirit could remove from a man. So he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So that comes a point in time where you've got to admit to God, I'm sorry, God, I messed up. And then you've got to wait on God to see if he will rekindle the thing or move in a different way. But he is going to prove you to see whether you intend to disobey him again or do right. And a lot of Christians are in the habit of grieving the Holy Spirit. All right, another sin against the Holy Spirit is not just grieving him, but you can quench him. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. That's about like Jesus wept. That's easy to see. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. You want to memorize a verse of Scripture? You've never done it before? Here's a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to quench something? Well, if you quench something, you put it out. You put it out. You suffocate it. All right, now this is generally seen probably in two ways, in your life and also in the life of a congregation or a church. you'll see what happens sometimes is a church is on fire for God. They're growing. People are getting saved. The preacher's happy. The people are happy. Things are going. And then something changes, like they bring in a modern Bible or they bring in modern music. And over a period of time, very slowly, very subtly, you begin to notice that there's not the power that was in the congregation before, so you have to change the lighting. There's not the power that was in the congregation before, so you have to change the sound system. There's not the power that was in the congregation before, so you got to change the music some more and get a really hip beat. There's not the power that was in the church as before, so you get rid of the preacher and bring in somebody else. There's not the power that was in the church before, and you finally figure out, if you're honest with yourself, that the Holy Spirit left a long time ago. You say, well, how could he? He's in us. Yes, he is, but he can be quenched. He's quenched when you suffocate his work. He's quenched when you throw water on the fire. And the best way in the world to do that is to replace a King James Bible with a modern Bible in your life or in the life of your church. That is the best way to begin the quenching process. And there are a lot of ways that people do that. the preacher will deal with you about, as a congregation, trying to help each other grow individually, or trying to get the church to grow by bringing in lost people that can listen to the gospel and respond to the preaching and get saved. And you know what happens? The fire goes out. Now, I'll give you a good example of this. I like to barbecue. I like to fire up the coals there in the backyard and throw some steaks on, or some chicken on, or some fish on, or something like that on the grill. Love to do that. Love to go out there in the backyard. Love to smell that smoke and be out there with the dogs and let that thing slow cook like that. Bring that in and eat that. This wonderful, great, great thing to do. Very, very good tasting, very enjoyable, wonderful thing. But I've noticed something. If you've got something to cook like a brisket that's going to take a long time, and you have coals in there, from time to time, if it's a long cooking deal, you're going to have to add some coals to that fire. That fire is going to go out. All right, so you take a very warm, you take a very hot, very good congregation, and just don't add to the life of that congregation over a period of time. What's going to happen? If you don't get some new folks in there, if you don't get some new converts in there, then what happens is those old coals that were flaming are going to die down. They're going to lose their zeal, and eventually the fire is going to go out. You know what that is? That is a slow, very subtle, methodical quenching of the work of the Holy Spirit in the congregation. Now, another good way to quench the spirit is just get a big fancy thing going. The Laodicean church is guilty of increasing with goods and having need of nothing and not recognizing that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And the Lord said, you know what you need to do? You need to let me chasten you, and you need to be zealous, and you need to repent. And the problem is, people won't do that. They think, man, we're doing better than we ever have before. The budget's growing. The offerings are growing. The people are dressed nicer, blah, 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 blah. And it's a mess, man. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's work is gone from a lot of churches in the United States of America today. And a fellow one time asked, he said this, and this is a very good statement, and I want to put this forth to you. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. What is it that is going on in our congregation today that would cease if the Holy Spirit left? All right, take the Wednesday night supper. Take the aerobics class. Take the mother's morning out. Take the choir practice. Take the training union. Take a lot of what goes on in Sunday school. Take a lot of what goes on in the church service. Take a lot of the other programs that go on. And you ask yourself the question, could we possibly, is there any possible way at all that these things would continue just as they are if the Holy Spirit was gone? And you know what the answer is? Yeah. One fellow admitted, and of course he was just being very honest with himself and God, he said 95% of what we do in church would continue on just like it's been going if the Holy Spirit left. Nothing would change. That's a sad thing, because Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. Well, if you can get 95% of what you do going on in the church to continue in the absence of the Holy Spirit, then 95% of what you're doing is nothing. You see that? So we got to be careful about that kind of stuff. Quenching the Holy Spirit. You might ask yourself the question, I wonder why in the world nobody's been getting saved around here lately. You see what I'm saying? All that kind of stuff. Got to be real careful about that. Okay, now what's another sin? You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and got caught right away. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart?" Somebody said, there's no way in the world that a Christian can be possessed by the devil. Here's a perfect example right here, biblical example. Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart?" When you got saved, you know what you said? Some of you. You know what you said? I invite Jesus into my heart. Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Look who filled the heart. Satan. And what did he do? He lied to the Holy Ghost and kept back part of the price of the land. And Sapphira went right along with him, and they both died right on the spot. Well, what was that? False spirituality. Pretending to be spiritual. You know something? There's a lot of that goes on today in Christianity. People pretending to be more spiritual than they are. I was reading a theological study from a fella, and he said basically this. I'll give him the credit for it. It was an excellent thing that he said about sins against the Holy Spirit. This is what he said. One of the most dangerous times, and this is, I'm not quoting, but this is the gist of what he said. One of the most dangerous times in a Christian's life is right after he gets saved. Because what happens is he wants to surrender, or she wants to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And Satan does everything that he can right at that point to counterfeit the work of the Holy Spirit so that you'll surrender your will to the wrong spirit. You said, well, there's no way in the world that he could possibly do that. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And you will have a spirituality that's not real. And you know deep down in your heart that it's not real because you have to put it on a little bit. You've got to pretend it a little bit. It is more zealous in front of other men than it is in front of the Lord by yourself. Now, here's the deal. Think about this for just a moment. But in life, you are born as a little baby, and you don't walk the first day out of the womb. Matter of fact, you don't crawl the first day out of the womb. Matter of fact, there's nothing more that you can do than cry. You don't even smile good. You cry and you nurse. All right, over a period of time, things begin to change gradually, and a few teeth pop out. And you motor around a little bit crawling, then you pull up on a piece of furniture, and then you begin to take your first steps, and then you fall down, you know, and you take a few more steps, and you fall down, that kind of stuff. And then one day, you know, you're walking a little bit. And then all of a sudden, pretty soon, you can put some words to your mouth when you're 2 or 3 years old, and then 6 years old, you know, you're in a kind of a kindergarten type thing, and go on through school, and one day you hit puberty, and then one day you graduate from high school, and then you go off into college, and come out of college, and then you go get married, and you get you a job, and you go along like that, and then after a little while, you start having you have babies, and they grow up the same way you did, and over a period of time, you have grandchildren over a period of time, then finally you retire and live out your life, and when you're 70, 80, 90 years old, you die. Now, that's the natural process of life, and you know something, as you go through life, the changes are extremely gradual. As your children are changing under your nose, you don't realize how rapidly they change until they hit those major things, like when they walk, or like when they go to school, or when they become adolescents, or when they become young men and women, or when they, you know, finally start getting gray hair. There are some times, you know, when the changes are pretty noticeable, pretty drastically noticeable. But I'll tell you something. If you go back in your own family album and you look back at the pictures of the kids, you go, my, I can't believe how much you changed. Or if you go see an uncle or an aunt that you haven't seen in a couple of years with your kids, they'll say, boy, your kids have really grown. But all that stuff took place under your roof very subtly. Very subtly. And it didn't take place real quickly. Like it seems to your uncle or your aunt or your friend who hadn't seen your kids in a couple of years. Well, listen, here's the point of all that. You know what? The work of the Holy Spirit is just the same way. It's a very gentle, very gradual, very unseen type of work. Every once in a while, there may be a few growth spurts, but for the most part, it's a very slow, gradual process. And the trouble is, when people get saved, they want to be something right now. They see some very zealous Christians, and they want to be like that right away, so they begin to put on the filling of the Holy Spirit. They want to go after a gift real quick and show everybody that they can prophesy or they can speak in tongues or they can do some great thing pretty quick like that. So they want to be very zealous, very, very much going for the Lord so that it's very noticeable what kind of work is being done in their life by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you something. You're having a bottle rocket experience. And at some point in time, the devil is going to cut out on you. The fire is going to go out, and you are going to fall like a bottle rocket. You're going to fall like a water balloon. You are going to bust when you hit the ground, and there's not going to be anything left. And your real spirituality is going to be seen when you hit the ground as to whether or not you can get up and keep going for God, or whether you want to throw in the towel and quit right then. Let me tell you something. You make a very big mistake trying to become real spiritual real quick after you get saved. You are better off to be very patient, to just nourish in the Word of God like nursing. Just desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Don't worry about all that stuff the Holy Spirit is doing. Don't worry about rapid changes. Don't worry about putting on spirituality. If you came from a rough background, you're rough. Just be before men what you are before God, and be before God what you are before men, and don't worry about how anybody else looks at your spiritual growth. Just don't worry about that. Let the Holy Spirit tend to that, and then you won't have to worry about lying to the Holy Ghost and pretending to be more spiritual like Ananias and Sapphira than you really are. Now, I really wish you would listen to that. I really wish you would take this to heed, because I guarantee you, you're having trouble with that. Just settle down. Give the Holy Spirit the time He needs to get the job done. You just go be the common, ordinary Christian that you are, and just get a little Bible reading done. Tell a few folks about Jesus Christ. Show up to church faithfully, and let God worry about the rest of the growth. You may not impress anybody. God will be impressed. He was impressed with a widow who gave two mites in the offering. Quit worrying about making a big surge, a big charge, a big splash, a big deal. And I always want to do the great, big, mighty, wonderful thing and get the recognition. That's a false spirituality, and you're lying to the Holy Spirit. All right, now, burning up a lot of time with those three sins, but those are big ones. Let me give you some more. All right, you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 3, there's that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is defined, and the truth of the matter is the only way you can do that is to accuse Jesus Christ of doing His work through an unclean spirit. And that happened while Christ was on the earth, and of course you know He'll be back here again one of these days real soon, and it can happen again. But right now He's not here for you to accuse. The definition of the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is saying, according to Mark chapter 3, verses 28 to 30, He hath an unclean spirit. Well, you're not going to say that about Christ right now. Now, that's the way to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, not the way that it's defined in the charismatic churches today. All right, something else you can do is you can go despite the Holy Spirit. You can despise the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the work of the Holy Spirit right now? Well, according to John, the Holy Spirit would come into the world to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me. That's what He came to do. Now, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit is beating on you, in so many words, to convict you of your sin, to convict you of Christ's righteousness, and to convict you that there is a judgment and you will face Jesus Christ at that judgment. All right, if you turn away from Jesus Christ, then you are despising the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:29 says, "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done what? Despite unto the Spirit of grace." So you can despise the Holy Spirit by rejecting Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ presents Himself to you as a lost person, and you refuse to receive Him and get saved, you have despised the work of the Holy Spirit, because He is trying to convict you of your need of Jesus Christ and of your need to believe on Him, and you won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are despising the Holy Spirit. That's a sin. That is a sin. All right, now what else? Well, look at Isaiah 63, verses 9 and 10. You can vex the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 9 and 10, you can vex the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, verse 10, "They rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit, therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them." There are times when God is working in your life, and you won't go where He's going. You're going to rebel against Him. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft means you are relying upon other spirits to be able to get supernatural work done. That vexes the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You're going to be in real trouble with Him and with Jesus Christ and with God Almighty if you rebel against the Lord. You can rebel against the Lord when He's trying to get you to do something you don't want to do. that is either quit a sin or get involved in something he wants you to do and you back off of that thing, I'll tell you what, don't you be guilty of that. The Holy Spirit has a whole lot more power than you do. All right, and then you can resist the Holy Spirit. That's another sin. Stephen talked about that in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he's preaching there to the Pharisees, and he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Well, that is a real, boy, you talk about coming down hard on somebody. That is coming down hard on somebody right there. So you can resist him. You can resist him. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right now, as I've been preaching to you about these sins of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's been working on you. Right now, there is an area of your life where you are not doing what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do. And you know right now, whether it's because you're grieving him or quenching him or lying to him or despising him or vexing him or resisting him, you know. There's not a doubt in your mind. You don't want to admit it. And right now, you'd rather turn the radio off and say, "That stupid preacher, what business does he have? He's just meddling with me. He doesn't have any business in the world at all talking to me like that." Let me tell you something. Why don't you just quit worrying about what the preacher's saying? Quit worrying about the coming right at you and giving it to you waist high. And why don't you get down on your knees right now? If you're in your car, obviously you can't do that. Why don't you pull over on the side of the road? Nobody else is going to mind. They can wait 5 minutes. And why don't you tell the Holy Spirit you're sorry that you've done one of these sins against him? He's pointed out to you. You know exactly what it is. And ask him to help you get your life right with God where you don't have to do that anymore, where you won't do that anymore, where you'll yield to him now and allow him in your life to correct that sin. You'll yield and give him the opportunity to do the work that he wants to. Listen, the main work the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't do that without you doing what he wants you to do. He can't do that without leading you. He can't do that without knocking out some sin in your life. He can't do that without making you suffer, because Christ suffered and you have to be conformable to his death. Those are negative things. Those are hard things. Those are hurtful things. But you're going to have to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity and the ability to conform you to the Lord Jesus Christ in the good things and in the bad things. And quit pretending to be something that you're not and putting on for all these folks that think you're something high and mighty. There are people that have pretended to be saved who are not saved. You'll wind up in hell if you don't get right with God and really get saved. And the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about that right now. My question to you is, are you willing to yield and let him fix you? If you will, he will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.